I'm Maria Dudzak, and this Wednesday it is time to check in with the University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan campus. And joining us, we have Professor John Radulovsky, who is going to make a presentation on immigration in the U.S. and Europe, past and present, from history to today's headlines. Good morning to you, and also Kathy Wickelman from the library. And I'm sorry, but you just walked in, and I'm blanking on your name.
It's Shelley.
Shelley, okay. Great. Good morning to all of you. And I realize, and I do have to apologize to the Wellness Coalition, because actually they were scheduled to go first. So we'll have the Wellness Coalition on in just a moment. I was thinking it was a Wednesday UAS day, so that's why I got a little flipped. So sorry if we rushed you in here.
That's okay.
Okay. Did someone want to have a start here? Or?
This is just, thank you. This is just part of our Ask UAS, where Ketchikan finds answers program. And Dr. Radulovsky is starting us out in the new year with our event, which is tomorrow night, beginning at 6:30. And the public is invited, as always. And we hope folks can come. We always have snacks, because that's always
tasty snacks.
Tasty snacks, some are homemade. And this is part of our Ask UAS is a program that we offer to showcase our faculty and the different. Dr. Radulovsky is a history professor, and Ask UAS is a program that showcases his many talents and areas of expertise, and that's part of what Ask UAS is, to invite the community in and listen to our faculty and what they can share with the community.
And these are, I'm sorry, these are monthly presentations?
They are, during the fall and spring semester.
And it's also a way for, I think, the community to discuss among themselves important issues and to hear, different ideas and hopefully, get more informed and talk to each other as well. And because we'd like to have at the, with each session, questions and answers and dialogue.
And I'm sorry, and then again, the topic is immigration in the U.S. and Europe, past and present. Is there a reason in, well, obviously immigration's in the news. It seems like you've done this before, a similar topic?
Well, I did something on sort of the history of immigration in Alaska. They were asking me, well, what can you do this time? And since immigration has come much more to the fore, in the current presidential campaign, it's being debated, I thought this would be a good time to actually look at policy and sort of how our policy is formed. And what the current situation is, rather than more the historical. But, of course, I'm a historian, so I can't, resist looking back, because the roots of what we have today, of course, go back some time. So we're looking at, and a lot of the debate over immigration is, are these immigrants, like the immigrants before? And we had a policy back then. Is that policy still working? Our immigration policy is really based upon laws that were put in the 1960s. Are those laws still working? I mean, we have this – we don't have a consensus on what to do for immigration. And part of it, stems from the fact that we don't always think very clearly about what immigration is and what it isn't.
Is there, in a sense of historically, something happening now is something that maybe – happened in the past? It just seems immigration totally is in the forefront. There's a time when it really, you didn't have as much discussion. Now it's huge. Is that sort of historically what happens? It goes in cycles?
It does go in cycles, but also it's driven not just by changes in immigration, but also I think what people forget, people often just focus on the immigrants, but our country has changed as well. And so when we have a policy that's put in place, 40, 50 years ago, it may respond to conditions then, but our country's undergone dramatic change. The countries people are coming from are undergoing a process of change as well. So just because someone's a Mexican immigrant, for example, today doesn't mean they're going to be the same. It's going to be the same as it was 30 years ago. They may be different kinds of Mexican immigration coming to the United States, or different types of immigration. And so we need to be able to think very clearly about what those are. And part of the problem is that there's a lot of rhetoric, but there isn't a lot of heat, but not a lot of light. So we want to try to shed a little light on it at least.
And the topic is in the U.S. and Europe. So are you also looking at immigration into European countries?
Correct. Because this is also, you know, very much in the headlines, the Syrian migrant crisis. It's affecting the United States to some extent as well. But it's very very much impacting Europe. And Europe is dealing with some similar problems. They're dealing with it differently. They have a different tradition. But, you know, the whole question of how many refugees are we going to let in? Who are we letting in? Are we letting them in for humanitarian reasons? Are there other reasons why? Is it a threat to societies? For example, the whole question of are there terrorists among these migrants? That whole question is still, you know, obviously the answer to some extent is yes, but how many? How do we tell? There isn't a clear answer, and you have kind of two different groups, or at least two different groups, shouting at each other.
And I imagine in the earlier days of immigration, the U.S. immigration, it's many, many years, but at the times when people were heading into Ellis Island and things like that, was it a different attitude, more accepting of having immigrants, or equally questioning?
It was questioning. I mean, we didn't really have a clear immigration policy, a sort of overall immigration policy, until after World War I. But there was definitely this debate over, you know, can we accept these people? You know, can an Italian become a good American? Can a Jew become a good American? I mean, these were things that were very hotly debated. That previous policy was based kind of on race and ethnicity. They believed there were certain races and certain ethnic groups that were going to fit better in the United States than others. That policy was then rejected in the 1960s in the civil rights movement after the Second World War. And so they had more of a – the policy was based upon non-discrimination, on treating all immigrants the same, you know, more on a quota system. But, you know, that also ignores the fact there are real differences among immigrants. There are more skilled and less skilled immigrants. You know, an immigrant coming from, say, Central America without a high school education – is going to have a very different experience in America than someone coming from India is going to work in Silicon Valley. Those are very, very different kinds of immigrants. We may need different policies for those different immigrants, because they're going to assimilate differently. They're going to respond differently to the United States, and the Americans are going to. And that's part of the problem, is that you have, people say, well, look, you know, these high-skilled immigrants are coming. Isn't this great? And that's actually Canada's policy. They have a high-skill. They sort of focus on high-skill immigrants rather than on sort of mass low-skill immigrants. But, you know, that low-skill immigrant that's coming to work in a construction job is going to affect people in the United States who don't have a lot of education, who are working construction. That's their bread and butter. They're going to be much more impacted than, say, an entrepreneur who wants to open, you know, a new tech company in Silicon Valley. They're going to be very in favor of immigration. That construction worker whose job is being impacted by all these immigrants coming, sometimes working for a lower wage, is going to have a very different attitude toward immigration. And so our attitudes, because our economy is so much more complicated now. Immigration may be similar, but our economy has changed so much since, you know, Ellis Island, that it's a different ballgame now.
What are you hoping people will take away from this presentation? I'm not sure how detailed you can get with, you know, limited amount of time.
Sure.
It's obviously not going to be a whole semester in one evening.
Well, we'll try. We'll try. You know, people can take notes. We'll have quizzes. No, we won't have quizzes. I think we want people to kind of have a better appreciation of how complicated the problem is. And why it is that we can't seem to come to a solution? Why does it seem that the policy is broken? And there's probably some good reasons why it's broken. And we don't have a consensus. And part of the reason we don't have a consensus is because we don't have the clear information. So this is an attempt to provide that.
This is something also that discussion follows?
Yes. Well, discussion. People can ask questions. They can debate amongst each other civilly.
Civil debate, or send them in the other room.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else anybody else wanted to add? Or?
I just wanted to introduce our new library assistant, Shelley Tabb, who just started a couple of weeks ago. Our longtime library assistant, Kathy Bowling, has gone on to another job at the university. So she is now supporting faculty as our academic support specialist. So she's still at the university. But Shelley is a great addition to the library, and So she'll be there tomorrow night greeting folks. And
one can meet her.
So welcome, Shelley.
Shelley, where do you come from to the library position? Kind of, are you look so familiar to me. You're from here?
Well, I've my husband and I and our children relocated here from Boise, Idaho, a year and a half ago. But I've volunteered at the animal shelter and found different ways to occupy myself. I've substituted at the library here and there, and then when the position opened up at UAS, I just had to jump for it, and I'm so grateful and happy to be there.
What appealed to you about that position?
Well, I love libraries, and I've been substituting at the public library, and you know, library jobs can be kind of few and far between in a small community. And the special thing about the UAS campus is that it really is like the community of UAS is almost like a little family, and the library is just a great library and a great spot for students. So I'm really happy to be part of it.
Okay, great. Well, welcome and thank you.
Thanks
again.
Thanks, Maria.
Okay, and again, a reminder, tomorrow night, the Ask UAS presentation, Immigration in the U.S. and Europe, Past and Present, From History to Today's Headlines with Professor John Radulovsky. That begins at 6:30 in the UAS Ketchikan Campus Library up on 7th Avenue.